Good evening. Let's do introductions around.
Ellie.
Randy.
Dan.
Brett.
Randy.
Brett. Brian.
Angie. Donna Lynn. She'll be back. I handed these out last week, and not everyone got one, I think. Oh.
Yeah.
Yes, could you hand them out to the there's three pages, I think.
Three? Uh-huh.
Yes.
Okay.
This is a chapter from Dogen Zenji's Shobo Genzo, which is his great work of many volumes. Many rather short chapters of his teaching, talks that he gave. This is considered to be one of the most, probably one of the most interesting talks, and also the hardest to understand. So as I said last week, take it as a wave of ocean and just let it hold you and carry you without trying to analyze it. There's no way to analyze Uji, being time. That isn't what Dogen is doing. He is making a tremendous effort to help us find our place, where we are, and who we are in that place. I thought I would read it. I'm doing it, as you see, I've numbered the sections. It doesn't usually come like that. This translation comes from Kaz Tanahashi and the San Francisco Zen Center. And now I've forgotten, one of the Zen Center students worked with Kaz in making this translation. But I'm reading several other translations as well, so I will put some new waves in of casting some of this as we go along through it. An ancient Buddha, Yao Shan, said, "For the time being, stand on top of the highest peak. For the time being, proceed along the bottom of the deepest ocean. For the time being, three heads and eight arms of a fighting demon. For the time being, an 8 or 16 foot body of the Buddha. For the time being, a staff or whisk. For the time being, a pillar or lantern. For the time being, the children of ordinary families. For the time being, the earth and sky." And Dogen says, "For the time being here means time itself is being, and all being is time. A golden 16-foot Buddha is time because it is time. There is the radiant illumination of time. Study it as the 12 hours of the present. Three heads and eight arms is time, because it is time. It is not separate from the 12 hours of the present. Even though you do not measure the hours of the day as long or short, far or near, you still call it the 12 hours, or in our case, the 24 hours. Because the signs of time's coming and going are obvious, people do not doubt it. Although they do not doubt it, they do not understand it. Or when sentient beings doubt what they do not understand, their doubt is not firmly fixed. Because of that, their past doubts do not necessarily coincide with the present doubt. Yet doubt itself is nothing but time. Got it? So, here's a here's sort of what he's talking about. You've seen this statue in the Civic Center in San Francisco. It's got three arms and three heads and six arms. They don't exactly say what they mean by it, but it certainly looks like one of the images that come through to us in our practice. I'll leave it here for everyone to see. For the time being, Nishijima translates as sometimes. Sometimes beings stand on top of the highest peak. Sometimes being proceeds along the bottom of the deepest ocean. Sometimes being the three head and eight arms of a fighting demon, etc. And another translation says, for the time being, you and friends in the neighborhood are for the time being. So there are a lot of sort of charming ways of casting this without explaining it out at all. This time being is this time. And what he's saying is it includes everything. It includes great achievement, the top of the mountain. It includes great depth. Sometimes we talk about deepening our practice, the depth of the ocean. Katagiri Roshi, who's written a wonderful book about time, talks about Buddha keeps one foot on the floor of the ocean, of the deepest ocean, and his head up in the air. That's how to practice, keeping one foot in the depth. It includes fighting demons, asuras it's called, and asura is one of the kind of levels of being. They're the hell beings and the hungry ghost beings and the fighting demons, the asura demons, which in our ancient practice were tamed by Buddhists when they came into a country and met aborigines who had demons as well as gods. They tamed the demons and put them at the door of the temple as guardians. So when you go to Japan, you'll see these really incredibly fierce and terrifying looking beings, a little taller than ordinary, and holding a stick with a sharp thing on the end of it and big muscles and frowns, and that's to keep everything safe inside. And of course, any size body of a Buddha would do. A staff or a whisk are the things that a teacher holds, or a teacher takes a walk with, or a pilgrimage with. Just a long stick. And a whisk is that thing with a horse tail on it. You may have seen it in ceremonies, and that there's a special way to flip it and push it around, and it's kind of one of the little drama pieces that I never learned, and I don't have a whisk. For the time being, a pillar or a lantern, and those are both things that the monks who received this teaching would have been seeing as they were sitting there. The temple is made of pillars and lanterns. Just ordinary. We would say being time is the Quaker meeting house. Being time are these creaky wooden chairs. Being time is the sycamore tree outside. Being time is the earth and the sky. it's hard to believe. And Dogen says it's hard to believe because we think of time as being going from what happened before to what's going to happen next. And so we're always on the way. We're always churning forward, trying to get somewhere. And getting somewhere makes it very, very difficult to experience our own being. The actual time of us is this time. Katagiri said, we may think, if time exists in space, that it occupies a portion of space. If you really start to think about how do we experience time, what do we think of it? We think of it as moving in space through time, or we're moving through time in space. The image that they used in olden times was a bowl inside of a bowl. So either the bowl is carrying the bowl inside, or the bowl inside is, how does it work? Either we're moving through time or time is moving through us. Either I'm living from my childhood all the way to this point, or time has carried me all the way to this point. Did I march here? Did I walk here? Did I arrive here? Or was I carried here in some way? What Dogen says is neither one. And Katagiri talks about time must become the whole of space. All space is time, not just one little piece of time that our little life traveled along. When you think about it, it doesn't make sense that we would have a little road that we would travel, and this is my time and the rest of the time is somebody else's time. Actually, our time is the whole time. So Coben said once in a famous little saying about our practice, he said it's always a stepping down, and because life is so complicated and so difficult, it's really good to sit down for a little while. Just sit down and stop trying to figure it out. Stop trying to get from point A to B. But just sit down in the middle of your own being, which includes all being and all time. That's what interbeing, what Thich Nhat Hanh calls interbeing, means. It isn't some fancy philosophical idea about all is one and one is all. It means the actuality of our life is that it's totally connected, seamless. And so we encourage ourselves, sometimes mysteriously, what brings us to sit like this? And yet, as we sit, we begin to feel how much we've missed this, the not figuring it out. Breathing with everything and letting it be the way it is. Letting us be the way we are. Being with everyone. So Dogen says time slows down and speeds up. We know that, don't we? we're in something really, really interesting, time just flies away. We don't even know that we've spent a whole morning doing something that's really interesting. Or as I said last week, if we're a kid having to take a nap, it just seems to last forever. And in our sort of way of, ordinary way of thinking of it, we would say, no, no, it's just the same. An hour is 60 seconds in a minute and 60 minutes in an hour, and you can measure it on the clock, dot, dot, dot. But that is not how we experience it at all. And as you probably know, Einstein made a very big deal about time because he discovered, to his great surprise, that actually time doesn't behave the way we think it does. That one kind of time is happening here and it's a different time over here if something is moving fast enough. It stunned everyone when he discovered that. Now it's kind of everybody knows. But still, we take it for granted. It's just a long line in space carrying us along, or we're going along with it. That sentient beings doubt what they do not understand is entirely, and this one is not firmly fixed, is Kaz's translation, but Katagiri's translation is entirely unsettled. And I like that a lot, because most of our life is spent in a very unsettled way, a very uncertain kind of feeling. It's very hard to sit down in the middle of everything. There's another translation of it also, which is the directions and traces of time's coming and going, as with the four seasons. And that's a wonderful metaphor, because our example, really, it's not a metaphor. We have spring, and we know what spring is. All the flowers are blooming. And then it's summer. We know it's summer. It's been really summer-ish these last few days, just terrifically so. It's just really summer. And then it gets autumn, very special feeling, and then winter, very different. And yet, as Dogen says in several places, it isn't that spring becomes summer. Spring is its own thing. And summer is its own thing. They're just the way they are. So this translation is the directions and traces of its coming and going, as with the four seasons, are so obvious that you have no doubt about it. You think they're just walking along the same line. Even though you have no doubt about it, that does not mean you understand it. He's saying, stop a minute and consider more. Think about it. So if one is moving, the other is still. One is still, the other is moving. And as you can see, that's a very dualistic way of thinking about things. There's this and then there's that. This thing, that thing. But Dogen is talking about the one thing, or the not one thing. So the Buddhist view of impermanence was that time has no independent existence. But Dogen thought that wasn't enough. He asked if any existence or any world was excluded from the present moment. And he decided there was nothing that was left out. Nothing is left out. And he said, it's not this cosmic thing or this eternal thing or all this kind of spacey stuff that people present as the way of understanding. It's right now. So when he talks about conditioned origination, how we change through time, he talks about the time has arrived. So anytime you have some kind of doubt about some kind of unsettled feeling, you can stop for a minute and think, the time has arrived. It's come. So in Dzogchen, they say, the place where we are is no ordinary place. In other words, don't take it for granted. Don't just slide along on the rails of time and be carried. If you can understand your own presence, then the settledness can become a part of our practice. Time arrives. That's why when we do walking meditation, we say, with every step we're arriving. That's why if you're really settled and can take that step, just arriving, it means just being there with no wiggle, not trying to get somewhere else. This is enough. Just this is enough. Then the floor won't squeak. Carl Jung said, the unbounded makes you anxious, since the unbounded is fearful, and your humanity rebels against it. Consequently, you seek limits and restraints so that you do not lose yourself tumbling into infinity. That's what happens if you I don't know how to say it, go too far. What he goes on to say in that statement is that that's why we like words. We use words to ground us. And I think that's what Dogen is doing in this, is trying to ground us as we spin out either into space or wherever it is that our mind takes us. He's bringing us back to where we are. So it's a short little bit, but it has a lot in it. And I think we can continue to study the 12 hours, the 14, the 24 hours for a long time. And let it tell us what it is. Our bodies are brilliant about time. Our body always knows what time it is. And if you let it, it can even keep time with the clock. But usually it's the way we depend on words and depend on things to tell us without realizing that it's already inside us. So that's enough. Probably more than enough. Are there questions? Donalyn?
Pema Chodron, one of the understandings that she gave me was that everything has a beginning, middle, and end, which has been very helpful to me, especially in situations that I'm suffering myself. Oh, this will end.
Yeah.
When it's going to end, I don't know if I'm, it's just starting or in the middle or close to the end, but eventually it will end, like our lives, like everything. But this twist on it is like, I mean, it's different. But, you know, I was having a lot of stomach and headaches and stuff, and I go, well, you know, it's not going to be like this forever again. Mm-hmm. So this whole concept, though, of kind of, you know, saying I've arrived, it's kind of like jolted me a little bit.
Well, you can always say it the way Suzuki Roshi did, that you're starting all over again. Beginner's mind. Because if we're always tracking ourselves through time, we're always measuring whether we're doing well or not, and that's a judgment that we really don't have to make because we don't really know. What may seem like we're doing well may turn out to be not very well at all. And vice versa. So it's much more refreshing if we can just always be.
Yeah.
But they're both true. I mean, we do live by the clock. It's that if we believe it, that it's real and true, then instead of just a useful fiction.
I took the phrase for the time being in two ways. One was for the time being, for now, just for now, but the other was for the time being, me, this time being. And I study a lot of Krishnamurti, as I say, he puts it away, he says, memory is time. And my brain seems to have this collection of all these memories.
Yes, yes.
Right? And so that helps me to understand how I'm a time being. I'm constructed in these memories, and he says memory is also a dead thing. It's not a now, living now thing. It's a memory that's so.
I've forgotten he said that, but that's wonderful. Yeah, it's not only that memory is dead, but we have to work really, really hard to believe it because none of it's true.
So we take the past, we take the present situation. Filter it through the past to create our future.
Yes.
So we're never really alive.
Where we are. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
We're in this process of time,
yeah.
Of the mind. We which is all a fabrication.
All made up.
Even the mind.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I often say that I kept a journal for since I was 11, and I have them all. And sometimes I used to, I don't do it anymore, but I would check what happened. And I'd go back 20 years and say, oh, what happened? And I would look. It wasn't anything like I remembered. None of my memories are accurate as far as I can tell. I sort of know what happened, but not really.
Isn't it amazing how our perceptions...
Yeah.
How I perceive something at the time, which is based on what I believe about myself, or how I feel about myself, is how I interpret the experience, as you just say, may have nothing
yes.
to do with what really happened.
Yeah. You know,
I think that's fascinating to have a journal like that to be able to reflect back on and actually see that, to know that. Oh
yeah.
My goodness, I find it amazing when I talk to people and they remind me of stories that happened in the past and they tell it and I'm like, was I there?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
That's not what happened.
Right. I don't remember that at all.
Yes. Yes.
Well, that's because we always dwell on the past. Well, at least most of us. I mean, I find I spend a lot, I just kind of thought about doubt, you know. He said doubt is nothing but time, and I think I just, by saying that, I couldn't understand it when I read on the paper, but I was just thinking today, lately, I've been dwelling on the past because of various things that happened, sort of difficulties with a friend, some financial matters, and you know, I was like, oh God, if only I had done this instead of that, or it wasn't like this before, you know. But I think we must spend, I shouldn't say everybody, but at least me, I must spend 98 and 22 100% of my time dwelling on the past, you know, like,
yeah.
Oh my gosh, if I'd only done this instead of that, or I'd sold this for this price instead of that price. Or,
you can torture yourself.
So-and-so was still the way they were 20 years ago or last year, and when they seem to be easier to get along with. And that's doubt. I see he's saying right here, he says, doubt is nothing but time, because when you do that, you're doubting.
For the time
you're doubting
being.
The reality of right now. You're saying, oh, I don't, gosh, if it
yes.
the way it is right now, it should be some other way, and that's
yes.
Time.
Yes. Yeah.
For the time being, we take those thoughts to be me and my thoughts.
Yeah.
For
yeah.
the time being.
Okay.
I've just been looking at the Yao Shan's words here earlier, at the beginning of this, and I've been realizing that each of these lines is a duality with the line before it. So,
mm-hmm.
on top of the highest peak, at the bottom of the deepest ocean, like
yeah.
you mentioned, the
yes.
elation of emotion and the bottomless pits of depression. The contrast between the demons and the Buddha, the choice to do evil or the choice to do good or whatever you want to call it. Staff and a whisk, pillar and lantern being implements of teaching and learning or bringing light, and seeing all of these things as kind of a duality that's brought into this kind of unity where you cannot have the pits of emotion or the you cannot have the high of elation without the depth of depression.
Exactly.
You cannot have teaching without learning, and you cannot have
mm-hmm.
any of these without the other. And I think the ultimate one that doesn't kind of go said here is you cannot have time without whatever it is that we experience time by.
Mm-hmm. Experienced is a cogent word, because that's all we are, is experience. We think we're a story, but actually we're just the experience as it's happening. Yeah, thank you. Well, it's 8:00.